It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life-Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-control. This fruit of the Spirit, this biblical fruit of the Spirit, can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that is yielded to walking in the Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced by efforts. This fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced by a set of ethics or morals. This fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced by human efforts or human goodwill. This fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. It's the God kind of fruit of the Spirit that's manifested in the life of the believer by walking in the Holy Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that is yielded to walking in the Spirit, in which their heart is bent in the direction of pleasing God in their word, thought, and deed. This particular fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that an individual is born again. This particular fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that an individual, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has a relationship with God. As they are walking in the Spirit, their life is producing and budding particular fruit. It's the evidence that they are Christian. Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew chapter 7, you shall know them by their fruit. This particular fruit of the Spirit is also encouraged in the Scriptures to be productive. In the book of John chapter 15, we go from producing fruit to more fruit to much fruit. We ought to be bountiful in these particular attributes or characteristics. A bountiful harvest, a bounty, a cornucopia, a horn of plenty on the fruit of the Spirit, being fruitful and multiply. This particular fruit of the Spirit is the attributes and characteristics that should be productive in the Christian's life. The Christian should have an abundance of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-control. Also, this particular fruit of the Spirit is unconditional. It's unconditional. And it spurns an unconditional kind of love in the believer's life. For example, unconditional thanksgiving, unconditional worship, unconditional praise, unconditional love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for others. The fruit of the Spirit should be unconditional and manifest itself vertically first between us and the Lord. It's based on our relationship between us and the Lord, and then it's given out horizontally, person to person, husband to wife, wife to husband, child to parent, parent to child, friend to friend, friend to foe alike. It's manifested based on our vertical relationship between us and God. As we walk in the Spirit, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. And then it's given out horizontally in the life that we live as believers, letting our light shine and being the salt of the earth. Let's look at this fruit of the Spirit individually as each component is given with Scripture. The first one is love, unconditional love. This is the agape love in the Greek, divine love, love that comes from God and given to us based on us being born again and then given out as we let our light shine and be the salt of the earth, a strong, heartened love, tender yet compassionate, devoted to the well-being of the Lord and to others, devoted to the well-being of others. This is that kind of love where God said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The kind of love that allows God to give the Lord Jesus Christ as a sacrifice to purchase, to redeem mankind back to God. This is the kind of love found in Scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So this kind of love is not because of us, it is in spite of us. God loving us, even while we were yet in sin, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for the sins of the world. This is the kind of love found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it says, "Charity," or that word is unconditional love, "suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." This unconditional love we have for each other, we gain it first by our walk with the Lord vertically, and then we distribute it based on our light shining, our love being manifested to others, as we pray for our enemies, as we forgive 70 times 7, as we become loving towards others as Christ also loved us. Unconditional love. The next component in the fruit of the Spirit, it says here, is joy. This is unconditional joy, not based on circumstances. This is gladness, delights over blessings received and expected for self and for others. This is joy, where the Bible says, "Rejoice evermore." This is joy when Jesus Christ was manifest in the earth. The Bible says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Unconditional joy, not based on circumstances, but still glad in the spirit, still glad in their heart, even though circumstances may be surrounding us and overwhelming us, yet our joy is dependent upon our relationship between us and God. This is not happenstance. This is not happiness based on circumstances, based on if everything is going right for us. No, not so. This is joy. Joy, not based on circumstance, but based on a joyful walk with the Lord, where even though the world may be collapsing around us, we have a smile on our face, joy in our heart, a pep in our step, and we are glad in Christ Jesus. This is the joy that money cannot buy. This is the joy that does not come with silver and gold. This is the kind of joy that only comes from a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship, sweet fellowship with him. The next one we see here is peace. Peace. This is unconditional peace. This is serenity from on high. This is the state of quietness and rest, harmony, order, sanctity in the midst of turmoil, strife, and temptations. No matter what we are going through, we have peace like a river. The Bible says we can rest in his love. The Bible says, "He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides still waters." The Bible says, "Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. This is the kind of peace that comes when we know that He is our burden bearer and that He will make a way out of no way. This is peace that comes from God. And only we can have this peace from God. This peace does not come from the world. This peace comes from God. The Bible says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." For the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This is the kind of peace that cannot be understood with the human mind. It's above our finite thinking because it comes from God Himself. Peace in our hearts from the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with Him, talking with Him along life's narrow way. This kind of fruit of the Spirit can only come from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as He is loving us and we are loving Him all the live long day. The next one we see here is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is actually the word makrothumia in the Greek. It means to breathe long. It means patient endurance. To bear long with frailties of others. To bear long with the offenses and injuries and provocations of others without murmuring, without resentment, without revenge. Long-suffering, knowing that God was long-suffering with us, knowing that God was patient with us through many years of rebellion and disobedience. He never gave up on us. And as we do not condone individuals' behaviors that are contrary against us, we never give up on them. We continue to pray for them and pray that God will open their eyes. The same way that God never gave up on us, the same way that someone was praying for us and never gave up on us. This is long-suffering. A great example in the Bible is found in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, where it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." This is not to say that we condone their behavior towards us. This is only to say that we pray for them, that we not revile back at them, that we look through the eyes of compassion and have compassion for them in order to pray for them, in order to see them as someone who needs the Lord Jesus Christ right now. This is long-suffering, as God was long-suffering towards us. The Bible says that God has not forgotten His promise, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, but He's long-suffering to us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the same long-suffering trait can be found in us through the fruit of the Spirit. This is long-suffering. To breathe long, to bear the infirmities of others, to look through the eyes of compassion, to pray for them, as God looked beyond our faults and saw our needs, as we ought to look beyond the faults of others to pray for them, not to condone them. Yes, set healthy boundaries. Yes, protect yourself at all times. Guard your heart with all diligence, the Bible says, but yet still be compassionate. Still pray for them in order to keep that spirit of revenge from cropping up, to ensure that we stay long-suffering to them as God was long-suffering to us. The next one we see here is gentleness. Gentleness. Gentleness is a disposition to be soft-spoken, to be gentle, to be kind, even-tempered, cultured, and refined, both in character and in conduct. This is a sense that an individual will not hurt you. This is a sense that they're harmless as doves. This is a sense that individuals are gentle. Gentleness, being approachable, being harmless, that someone would come to you without reservation, feeling that you're not going to hurt them, but being approachable, accessible, and gentle to the point where individuals can come to you and feel that they're not going to be hurt, ridiculed, or put down. A sense of gentle approachability, if you will. A spiritual bedside manner, if you will. Gentleness. Still strong, but gentle. Still tough, but not rough. Still tough, but yet tender. Gentleness. Firm and strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet with a sense of sensitivity, a sense of gentle touch, a spiritual bedside manner, if you will, gentleness. As the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." Gentleness. A sweet disposition about an individual where you know that they're not going to hurt someone. They are gentle, firm, and strong in their stance for the Lord Jesus Christ, yet they are gentle. Sensitive. Have a spiritual bedside manner, if you will. The next one we see here is goodness. Goodness. This is not the kind of goodness that is human-centered. This is not the kind of goodness that comes from doing good deeds. For, as we've spoken of before, this particular fruit of the Spirit, all these particular attributes can only come and be produced from the Holy Spirit. They do not come from the heart of men. They do not come from the ethics of men or the morals of men. They come from God through the Holy Spirit. This particular trait, goodness, is goodness in a God kind of way. Goodness in a God sense that goes above the ethics and morals of man. The Bible gives us an example as Barnabas had this kind of trait. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith." This kind of goodness sees through the eyes that individuals need to be saved. That there is a lost world out there and the goodness of God can lead them to repentance. These individuals see through these particular eyes of goodness that if they knew the goodness of God, if they knew how wonderful God was, how compassionate, how long-suffering, how gentle, how kind that God is, then they would be drawn to Him in salvation. "With loving kindness have I drawn thee." The Bible says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." This particular character trait has the eyes that allow an individual to see that God is a good God, that no disasters come from Him, that no calamities come from Him, that no death and heartache and heartbreak come from Him, that every good gift and every perfect gift, the Bible says, cometh down from above, where God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And the true source of heartbreak and heartache comes from the devil and his minions. For the Bible says, "A thief cometh but for to kill and to steal and to destroy." And the devil goeth about, the Bible says, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Looking through the eyes of this particular goodness, we see God as a good God. And individuals can experience that goodness and be led to salvation in Jesus Christ. This is the kind of goodness that goes beyond just giving bread and water. This is the kind of goodness that gives bread and water and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the kind of goodness that goes beyond just building a house for someone. This is the kind of goodness that goes with building a house for someone and giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the kind of goodness that goes beyond just giving individuals clothes on their back and shelter and food. But this is the kind of goodness that comes where when they receive shelter and food and clothing, they also receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, "For whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God by him." This is the kind of goodness that goes above the ethics of man and human morals and goodness and human ethics. It's a goodness that comes from God that seeks salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next one we see here is faith. This is faith that comes from God through the Holy Spirit. This is the created principle of the inward and wholeheartedness of confidence and assurance and trust and reliance in God and all that he says and all that he stands for. This kind of faith, of course, is unconditional. This kind of faith is not based on circumstances. This kind of faith is defined in the book of Numbers chapter 13 as the spies were sent to spy out the land of Canaan. And as they came back with an evil report, Caleb and Joshua said that, "Let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it." In spite of the individuals looking like giants, in spite of what they saw in the natural, that this land was filled with giants, and the other spies thought that they could not possess it and overcome it, Caleb, Joshua, stood up and says, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." This is the kind of faith, in other words, that walks by faith and not by sight. This is the kind of faith that's written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." This is now faith, the present tense faith, faith not based on if things get better. This is now faith, walking by faith and not by sight, knowing that God is God, and if God be for us, who can be against us? This is the kind of faith that can move mountains. This is the kind of faith that no matter what we hear, no matter what we see, we believe God, that God is. This is the kind of faith that no matter what the circumstances may be, we know that individuals can overcome, be healed, be restored, that marriages can be saved, individuals can be healed, and that God is the God that can do the impossible. This is the kind of faith that a believer has as they walk with God, as they have sweet fellowship and relationship and produce the fruit of the Spirit, faith that sees beyond the circumstances and sees the promises of God in Scripture being manifested in their life, speaking to the mountains, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea." This is the kind of faith that's now faith, in the here and now, as we act on it, as we walk in it, as we believe it. And the next one we see here is meekness. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is the disposition to be gentle and kind and indulgent, even balanced and tempered in passions, patient, suffering injuries without feeling a spirit of revenge. Meekness is power under control. The power to have revenge, yet we do not take revenge. This is power under control. Excellent example we see here in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, where Moses was being ridiculed and complained on by his brother, by his sister, on marrying the Ethiopian woman. And Moses, the Bible says, was a very meek man above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. This is power under control. And if we want to be used by God as Moses was exalted to be used by God, we must have meekness. Because the higher you go up in God, the more of a bullseye we have on our back and on our chest for individuals to ridicule us, talk about us, for the enemy to persecute us and come against us. And we need that spirit of meekness so we can have our battles fought by the Lord and not us fighting battle after battle after battle of all the persecution, of all the things that we have to go through as Christians. We need this character trait of meekness to allow the Lord to fight our battles, to know that the battle is the Lord, to know that victory is mine through Christ Jesus, to know that the devil is under our feet and that we have nothing to prove. We just trust in the Lord. The Bible says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace." God is not giving this earth as an inheritance by the sword, as some religions may teach. God is giving this earth and beyond as an inheritance to the meek. For the battle is the Lord's. The Bible says, "The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. And the last component we see here is temperance. Temperance, which is self-control. Temperance, which is moderation from indulgences and the appetites and the passions of the flesh. The Christian ability based on the Spirit to control in the Spirit this temple. Temperance, self-control, moderation, not going into excess, not going into opulence, not going above and beyond our means, but temperance, self-control, not being consumed by things. For example, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 25, it says here, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled with and vomit it up." In other words, eat to the satisfaction, something sweet, something good, honey back then, and sometimes honey today. But not to overindulge, the Bible says. Otherwise, it's as if a person has too much and they vomit it back up. In other words, being careful that we learn to moderate ourselves as Christians, not to go into excess, to control the appetites and desires and passions of the flesh through the Holy Spirit, to not allow this flesh to consume us and overrun us. In other words, this flesh has a built-in appetite to it. The more we eat, the more we may want to eat. The more we involve ourselves in the flesh, a slippery slope will take place, and the flesh will never be satisfied, and it will end up consuming the individual, overtaking the individual. And that's why we need this sense of temperance, to set healthy boundaries, to have healthy self-control, to have healthy moderation, to have a good fasting life, to keep this flesh up under subjection. For the Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Another wonderful example of temperance is found in Genesis chapter 39, where Potiphar's wife was constantly, daily pursuing Joseph to commit adultery with Joseph behind Potiphar's back. Yet Joseph said in the book of Genesis, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" In other words, Joseph was able to walk away from this woman who was pursuing him, who pulled the clothes off of Joseph, who pursued him day after day after day. Joseph had temperance. Joseph had self-control. This is an evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. These particular fruits of the Spirit that we talked about today, that we discuss today, that we process today, are only given through a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, and they come from the Holy Spirit. They are the evidence that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus said himself, "You shall know them by their fruit." And on today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, then I invite you to pray with me today this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.